Good evening and welcome to the Riot Act Business Review Episode 3. We're here in the Belgian Beer Cafe with Leon Johnston, who's the manager, Leon. And with me is Tim and John with me.
I'm Tim.
He's John.
Say hello,
and
Leon.
And I'm Leon, yeah. How you guys doing?
He's Leon.
Well, I guess our first question is, what is it that you're selling here?
Well, the Belgian Beer Cafe predominantly sells a range of imported Belgian beers and locally produced products as well. It also operates as a restaurant, so we have Belgian style bistro food on the menu. But predominantly we're a bar with classic, I guess, some of the best Belgian beers in the world imported through into Australia. We have a range about 35 at the moment, but within the group of the Belgian beer cafes, you can have up to about 60 different beers, I think. In any one of the venues, which is makes deciding a little difficult sometimes.
How does your inventory management go with that menu?
Yeah, stock takes take a very long time. They're quite high end, they're fairly pricey products, so we end up holding quite a bit of stock on hand. It takes a long time to inventory. We do inventory weekly at the moment, which takes up a good proportion of our time. It's very important because everything's so being imported, it's fairly pricey. We need to monitor really tightly.
What's the shelf life on imported Belgian beers?
Well, technically they can probably last for 12 months or so, but any beer in a bottle is exposed to a little bit of light at some point.
Yeah.
So it does degrade a little bit, so we don't have to keep them that long. A turnaround from the time they're shipped into the time we get them would be less than sort of 3 months, I guess, at the most. And right. We turn our stuff pretty quickly, so we're not holding a lot of each individual product.
Sure.
So we're trying to minimise that with the bottles especially.
Great.
You mentioned just a second ago in reference to other businesses. Are there Belgian beer cafes in other states?
Yeah, absolutely. There's one, there's two in Sydney. The first one was in Sydney. Then there's Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth as well. And Canberra now as well.
Okay, so this is operated under a franchise arrangement?
Well, the concept is franchise, yeah, but each individual business operates under its own on its own right. There is a little bit of cooperation between them, but they're separate owners. And whilst information is shared, it's not a traditional franchise structure where it's all controlled by one governing body. The original concept was started off by, funnily enough, the company that imports the Belgian beer into Australia as a vehicle to sell their product, basically, yeah. But after they had a huge amount of success in Sydney, they've sort of expanded to all the others.
So they give you the branding and merchandising?
Yeah, when you set up, they're heavily involved with the fit-out and the set-up and the merchandising and branding and whatnot, and training, especially on how to handle the beers.
Yeah.
But after that, they sort of pull back and you run it as you see fit within a fairly loose set of guidelines, and they're always there for support if you do need them, so it's good to be handled.
You mentioned just a second ago that the beer itself is quite pricey. What do you see your customer base as?
Well, we're not necessarily the kind of place you're going to come and have 10 or 15 beers. Not that you should have 10 or 15 beers. We're more of two to three. You might sample three or four different beers that appeals to your palate, I guess, because we do a massive range in the styles and flavours of the beers we have. So it's probably people who are prepared to pay $1, $2 extra to try something that has been perhaps brewed for 800 years in the same area and the same techniques, or something made by Trappist monks. Then they only make a certain amount per year, and once it's gone, it's gone. So you do pay a little bit extra, but you're getting a premium product,
How late do you stay open?
We trade till 11 minimum, and we'll go later if everyone's having a good time, everyone's having fun. Well, we'll keep going.
So on a Friday night, your customers will be staying until
12:30, maybe 1 at the probably latest. We don't stay open too late, but we will go through. If people are having fun and enjoying themselves, I'll stay.
Depending on what the trade is.
Yeah, but minimum 11 o'clock.
Right. We're here in leafy Kingston, and you've got a massive tree out the front which somewhat obscures the signage. Do you find that detracts from perhaps passing patronage?
I think it's a lovely tree. some of it could be removed from the base. No, it's nice. I mean, the whole street's lovely. There's big, the trees along the whole facade give the whole area, I guess, a nice feel to it. Sort of relaxed sort of feel to the place. It is unfortunate we have a giant tree obscuring the facade of the building. But in the evenings, especially, I mean, we're lit up and there's people sitting outside on the chairs outside there, so there's activity. You can easily see what's going on. So I don't think it's too much of a problem for us.
I mean, it's, 6:30 on a Tuesday, just after New Year's Eve, and you'd have, what, 20 people?
Yeah, approximately 20-odd. We might get a little busy later, people coming in for dinner.
Yeah, that's not a bad crowd for this time of day at this time of year.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. Finding that it's a reasonably popular place. It's sort of becoming an icon venue, I guess. It would offer a product and a service that's slightly different to
now,
maybe what else you can do in Canberra.
There's just been a change of management, is that correct?
Recently, yeah. That's why I'm here. I've been around for about three and a bit weeks now.
Yep.
Coming to terms with operating this business.
Yep.
New owners have taken over just before, and I've been employed by them previously, so I've been brought down to take it on and
make it
even better than it already is. Yeah.
Okay.
Tell us about your motivations. Not from Canberra. You've got a background in running and managing bars and restaurants in Sydney.
Yeah. I've been running and managing bars and restaurants for probably coming on 10 years now, I guess, or eight to 10 years, predominantly in Sydney, but also Brisbane and Melbourne. Haven't really worked in Canberra and haven't looked at a lot of the market in Canberra, so that's a good experience for me to be exposed to that. Also, coming on board and working with the guys that have just bought it, it's a good opportunity to work with those guys again. They're national, business nationally, and that's an exciting sort of opportunity for me personally. Plus, my sister and brother-in-law live down here, so I get to spend some time with them and my brand new nephew, JP. Other than that, it's also working within this concept as well. I like the idea of having a premium range of products.
Mm-hmm.
And offering products and services to people that are maybe a little bit better than what they might get elsewhere.
Now, you worked in some pretty highfalutin bars in Sydney.
Yep.
How does the Kingston market differ from Sydney bars?
Bearing in mind that I've only been here for a couple of weeks, so I'm still getting to terms with it.
Sure, and it's a funny time of year for
you
as
it's,
well.
Yeah, it's been a hectic time to take over any business, basically. Generally, I think people are quite open to trying new things, new products here.
Yeah.
They're not, people I've seen so far, they like the idea of the premium products and they don't mind paying $1 or $2 extra for what they're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're fairly discerning. They know a lot about what they're buying too as well, which is a bit awkward for me at times in the first couple of days because I was still learning myself.
Right.
They're fairly discerning clientele, generally. I think predominantly they're sort of, for us anyway, mid to late 20s up to early 40s, which is perfect sort of demographic for me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fairly affluent, I'm finding.
Right.
Not rich, but reasonably have a decent leisure spend at their disposal. So.
Which is what you're after.
Which is perfect, yes.
How many hours a week do you reckon the business takes up?
Of my time personally?
Okay, first 3 weeks. And
yeah, currently it's a lot more than it will be, just because I choose to, not because I'm directed to, but because I choose to spend as much time as possible here getting on top of the various things I need to be doing here.
Is that because you don't want to let your baby go just yet?
Not yet, no. Not at all. I'm fairly controlling, especially first up. But, you know, if I'm doing my job correctly and managing the place correctly, it should be 50 plus hours a week, I guess.
So what are you doing right now?
I hate to think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working probably... I am working 6-7 days at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Morning till close.
Yeah.
Just because it's just the time of year and starting a new business. Yeah.
What do you think the biggest challenge of running a bar? Is it just this initial period of sort of opening up a bar? Or
no,
a
not at all.
Is there the same sort of challenges that face you through the life of a bar?
Yeah, that happens... The same set of issues come up all the time. Just one moves to the top of the list and the other moves to the bottom, basically. There's always HR problems. Not problems, but challenges. We like to say challenges.
Tell us about those.
Well, I mean, a lot of the industry is not professional. They're doing it part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Either whilst they're in school or after school. So there's a very limited sort of, I guess, skill base to draw from, which means you have to train people a lot,
mm-hmm.
especially in a concept venue where they need to know specific things that they won't have picked up elsewhere.
There's no one's coming out of a TAFE course to work in a bar like
this. No. And, you know, a bar like this, they've got to spend a couple of weeks learning about all the different products that we sell, all the different beers in the background, and how to pour them correctly and how to explain the
things. Yeah, so colour-coded cheat sheets?
We don't dumb it down that much, but we do encourage them to try them occasionally.
Right.
Yeah, you do need to, same with the wine. I mean, it's important to know what the different varietals and whatnot are. With the beers, you need to be able to explain what they are to customers to sell them.
Not quite the same challenges as, like, that's BB tap, that's...
Yeah, not quite. It's a little bit, more involved. Not much, but a little bit more involved.
Right.
That's the
Cooper's
tap.
Other than that, I mean, maintaining a level of service. You set benchmarks for yourselves and what you tell your customer base that this is the service we're going to provide, and then maintaining that over a longer term, and not letting areas slip.
As a manager, I've always found it a challenge to figure out when to crack the whip and when to let things go. How do you find deciding when things need to be tightened up?
What's that level of service? How do you measure that?
How do you maintain it?
Okay, in a broader spectrum, I mean, we measure it through mystery shoppers coming
you
in.
Do that,
yeah, all sorts of stuff like that.
How often do you get them in?
Probably do it weekly once we get up and running. We're not doing them that often at the moment, basically because everyone's kind of new, so there's not much point. But we'll be running those weekly, probably fortnightly, depending on how we go with them, if things are on scratch. There's a lot of different sort of key metrics you can look at in terms of, say, what the average spend per customer is, and you can monitor things that way. In a more on-the-spot sort of response, during a service period, the manager who's here is out walking around making sure, talking to every guest, seeing how they are and what's going on. And if they're not, if one of the team isn't performing to where they should be, it's, it doesn't have to be a whip cracking, it's more of a redirection, say, hey, this is, we're not, quite sort of towing the chain, I guess is a bad phrase, but you know what I mean? You're not sort of doing what's expected of you, this is really what we need you to do. Try this. So it's this on the spot sort of direction with people.
Yeah.
That's something different than I guess you get in a lot of other in bars where the manager isn't looking around, they're just sort of looking at the numbers coming through. Do you think that sort of offers you a competitive advantage?
Absolutely. Especially for the company I'm working for now, it's all about me being the operator of the bar or restaurant. I'm the one who's most involved with all the customers, and my manager's down. If they're here, they're out on the floor. They're not sitting in the office out the back, or having a beer with their mates at the end of the bar. They're 100% of the time out and about and talking to people, finding out what we can do better.
Just one thing I'd like to go back to: do you find that the average spend per transaction is a good reflection of the customer service being given? So if the bar staff are doing their job, they should be taking in more?
Well, not necessarily more. There's a certain level which I think is a comfortable spend for what I would expect people to spend here.
Okay, and if it's less than that, you think they're being perfunctory with the customers?
Possibly. It's not strictly indicative of that, but it can be.
And
also, I don't want them to spend too much, because then we're not as valuable an option as what we might be. I don't want to be sucking blood from people.
Yeah,
I want them to come back and bring their friends.
Yeah,
because they had a good time. Yeah. It was a good value option for them. So. There's a certain sort of band that I want to try and stay between.
And how many people do you currently employ?
Currently?
And how do you recruit new staff?
We currently have 13 people, and myself, the manager, and head chef. They're all part-time, except for myself and the manager and chef. And that'll vary seasonally, too. We'll have more or less people on different times of year. Finding staff is always an issue, and it varies a little bit from place to place. So being new in Canberra, I don't have the sort of networks that I would have had in Brisbane or Melbourne. So I've really got to start looking at that and finding out where I can recruit people from. So if anyone's out there and they're looking for a bar job or they're a chef, give me a yell. But yes, yeah, so I mean, it's always difficult, and you're always kind of looking for people, being that it's a reasonably transient sort of industry. But if you get great guys, great people, great staff, you hold on to them for dear life.
As long as you can.
Yeah.
Although I imagine you can't be too flexible with wages in this sort of industry.
I can be flexible, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, if someone's a star performer for me, I'm always open to deal.
Okay.
They'd probably be less than what they expected. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm happy to talk.
Okay, so you do have flexibility with your wages.
Yeah, I mean, we have an enterprise enterprise bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I can pay people what I feel they're worth.
Fantastic.
Which is another good thing about the guys I'm working for. They're happy if someone's a star, a superstar. Keep them on. It's better value for us to keep them here than to. Employ two other people. Yeah.
With your level of specialty product and specialty clientele, does that make it particularly worthwhile to pay above average wages?
Once someone knows what we sell and what we're offering, yeah, it can. Labour costs for a bar, a business like this, is one of your biggest expenses. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to advocate paying enormous amounts for people, but if someone is a valuable employee and they can and they're contributing more than everybody else,
mm-hmm.
they're worth more, I think.
Yeah.
Simple.
Mm.
Pretty simple equation.
Alright, how do you promote the bar?
Well, being here 3 weeks, we still haven't got into the sort of marketing phase of things yet. That'll be starting next week or two. Generally, the best way of promoting any business like this is word of mouth through your customers.
Mm-hmm.
If my staff can get someone to walk out and tell, say, 5 of their friends they had a great time,
mm-hmm.
That's the best sort of advertising I can possibly get.
Yeah.
Better than any other form, I don't care what it is you tell me, that's the best thing I can possibly get out in the community. So that's what we try and focus on a lot. If we can make sure that each individual guest has an amazing time when they come through.
Mm-hmm.
Fingers crossed, they tell a couple of people. Second to that, I haven't sort of started on it. We're starting shortly, but you know, we're using a lot of things locally. Had someone suggest letter drops the other day, but I'm not sure if we'll go with that.
I guess part of the problem must be you want the right sort of customer coming in here. You don't want builders are just going to finish the shift and want to be.
Well, I mean, I don't mind builders as long as if a bunch of builders want to come in and they think they want to try some of the beers, that's great.
Yeah.
They're
going to be disappointed if they want BB. Yeah.
So is there dress code?
Not strictly, no. Okay. Right. I prefer if people don't turn up in thongs and stubbies and a singlet.
Yeah.
It is a reasonably nice bar, mm-hmm. so generally speaking, people want.
Yeah.
But technically, there's no dress code now.
Right.
Feel free to dress nicely if you're going to come in there.
Okay. Security, when do you start putting people on the door?
We haven't yet. I have thought about it. Haven't needed to over this period. I was a bit apprehensive about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also yet to really discuss much with the local area police to find out what the score is in that regard. I have talked to some of the other operators in the area.
Mm-hmm.
We don't generally draw
a rowdy.
Problem rowdy crowd.
Yeah.
So it's quite some of the beer sense
as far as that, I guess.
Yeah.
With promotions in Canberra, there's a general feeling in this town that there's no one here in January.
Yep.
Is that?
I've been told that, yeah.
Yeah. Is that something you're going to want to hold off on?
Promoting the business during during January period?
Yeah.
No, I'll be doing as... we'll be putting in some place some local initiatives for people who are around that hopefully can raise your awareness that we're here, we're open,
mm-hmm.
we're still trading.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot of people leave Canberra during January, but I'm also seeing a reasonable amount of trade. I mean, like you said before, it's Tuesday night, we've got 20, 30 people out here.
Mm-hmm.
We've just
noticed
dinner.
A family of three generations come in for dinner, which is
so people may leave Canberra, but there's still a lot of trade around. So.
I guess part of your clientele, you're not getting the uni students that so many other bars in this town rely on.
Yeah, no, not necessarily. we get a small percentage of sort of student age people, but generally it's a little bit older. Whether they're, you know, the students might be looking to get better value for their limited spend, I guess.
I would have said they were looking to get plastic cheaply.
Well, better value for limited spend. Yeah.
There's also people who live in the Kingston area. There's, I mean, the uni students are all pretty much north side as well.
I'm learning these things, different suburbs. I mean, Kingston's a great little suburb. I really like it. I've only been here for 3 or 4 weeks, but or 3 weeks. But yeah, lifestyle atmosphere is really nice. Really nice.
What's the most satisfying thing about running a bar? Not necessarily this one, but any bar. A bar, a restaurant.
The thing I find best about working in hospitality is when I can sort of sit down at the end or during the middle of the night and look around and see that everyone's having a good time and everyone's enjoying themselves in my venue. It's nice to be able to sort of provide something for that. People can get together and have fun with friends, family, or, you know, by themselves, meet new people, whatever, being a catalyst for people to enjoy themselves, I guess.
Is there a flip side to that coin?
Yeah, there can be. People go too far. You can often see the worst in people. Probably not in this place, but in other places I've worked at, for sure. You can definitely see the worst in those people when they take it too far. More often than not, hopefully it's the focus on the good and
move on
from the bad. Yeah.
Where do you see this business sort of progressing to for sort of 5 or 10 years?
Well, certainly in the next sort of 3 to 5 years, I guess it's going to become a real Canberra icon, the kind of venue that if you go to Canberra and ask someone where is a nice sort of boutique bar to go for dinner and have a few drinks, that this would be on their top three list to tell people.
Who do you regard as your competition in that area?
Oh, no one.
Yeah? Okay.
No, I'm still looking into it. I'm still learning about the other, a lot of the other venues in the area, restaurants and bars and whatnot, indeed in Canberra in general, and where everyone sits in terms of what they offer to the customers. So at this stage, it's probably a little bit hard for me to say that, I guess.
Okay. But certainly one of your goals, to have it mentioned in the top three.
That's one of my written goals, you know, on my wall at home and in the wall in the office. This will become an iconic venue in Canberra. Unique sort of offering to the customer and great service.
With the location, are you hoping to get the parliamentary crowd in?
I'll take anyone. Yeah. Even the parliamentary crowd.
But it's not a specific goal.
No, I'm not focusing that tightly on demographics. Okay. We're a little bit looser. We may tailor some marketing down the track to different areas of the community, I guess. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, I'm open to everybody.
Okay. Is there any area of government policy, be it local or federal, probably local, that would make your life easier if it was changed?
In this bar, there's not a great deal of legislation which affects us adversely. Mm-hmm. All the liquor licensing laws and whatnot are there for a reason, and they're to public safety, I guess. Most importantly.
Well, you wouldn't be the first bar on the list of an 18-year-old looking to get blood, or a 17-year-old looking to get blood.
No, I don't think so. So, that sort of thing is not really an issue for us. I guess you could say there's some issues with employing people.
How so?
Well, actually, that doesn't really affect us, because we're an agreement. But generally speaking, it can be, especially if you're in, unionised places, like an RSL club, things like that.
Yeah. You find this extra.
This is not from personal experience, but from talking to people in the industry.
Yeah.
It can become difficult, very difficult to manage. To find a balance between operating a business and welfare of the staff.
Okay, but that's not an issue, isn't it?
Well, no, but I mean, in small places it can be, because there are a lot of operators who will take advantage of people.
Right.
I don't like to think that I take advantage of my staff at all.
Let's move on. What do you reckon the biggest risk facing the business is?
Biggest risk facing this business? biggest risk facing this business for me is probably getting complacent in terms of monitoring, I guess, the product and the service we offer to people. Because as soon as you let things like that slip, people will hear about it very quickly.
Right.
I was saying before, if one person goes and tells their friends that they've had a great time, if they've had a bad time, they're far more likely
to tell 100.
Friends. They'll tell 100. Yeah. So losing vigilance in that respect, service standard is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think competition, direct competition at least, in the local area.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good restaurants around.
Yeah.
But we do have a slightly different product to everybody else, mm-hmm. I guess. So that makes us a little unique.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most critical thing is just being able to get and train great staff. That's the biggest risk for us, not being able to train and maintain and hold great people working here.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't have that, well, the service is down the toilet pretty quickly.
So without the service, it's the business is
Yeah, absolutely. We're a service industry. That's what we're totally what I'm based on is the best possible service and the best possible product.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Like someone dropped the glass.
For our listeners, you know, out there in Canberra, thinking of throwing in their jobs and deciding that this is the life for them, what's one piece of advice that you could give to someone, for that person?
I would say, cliche, don't do it. But look, there's a lot of great things I've really, really enjoyed the last sort of 8 to 10 years working in running bars and restaurants, running multiples even, running several businesses at once. It can be very long hours. You often end up working the opposite end of the spectrum from everybody else. When they're having fun, you're working, which is, you know, that's what we do, provide places for people to have a good time. Flip side, I mean, it's a really enjoyable job. I've done a lot of varied things. I've sort of spent last year and the year before travelling around the country working in different venues for a few different companies, which is good fun. It can be a fairly relaxed atmosphere. It can also be a very stressful atmosphere at times. I get someone to make my lunch for me, which is great. My team.
So
I have a chef
on hand,
so that's not so bad, yeah.
I like
I've worked with a lot of really great people, and it's been enjoyable to see, especially younger people, growing up a little bit and learning a little bit of responsibility and then going on to do their own things. I've had people who've worked for me now running quite substantial businesses in different areas as well over time.
Do you think there's a lot of advice out there for people looking to get into this type of business?
No, not at all. And there's not a lot of people to learn from, I don't think.
So that seems to be the best avenue is actually getting to work into a place.
Yeah, just if you're starting out, yeah, get whatever experience you can. There's tech courses and whatnot you can do, which are valuable for sure, but not as much so as being on the ground. Yeah. If you find someone who's successful in this and doing well and is prepared to mentor you into teach you, grab them and learn everything you can. Make your mistakes with their money and not your own.
That's a list of freebies.
Is there anything you don't feel we've covered about the operations business that you'd like to share with us?
No, I think that was pretty good actually. At this stage, you know, it's 3 weeks deep. I'm still, I'm just treading water a little bit now, getting on top of the operations. So, you know, I think that's a fairly good little rundown of what we do.
Fantastic. Okay. Well,
thanks,
Leon. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.